This is Beyond a Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Gary Smith.
Welcome. We're here on what is becoming a tradition for Gary and me, the Sunday morning Bard. You're doing British racing. I'm doing Baby Watch. It's something else, I'll tell you.
Still waiting, huh? No new little addition to the Garagus clan yet?
No. Nobody's arrived. I think waiting for 4th of July. Missed Jake's birthday. So now next kind of pivotal moment is 4th of July.
It'd only be appropriate, and it sure would be easy for your son-in-law if his, you know, first child was born on his wedding anniversary. That just, it all works, you know? But you miss one, and then you're just screwed for the rest of the year. I mean...
We've got quite a, what a week it's been, huh? The U.S. Supreme Court going wild, the January 6th hearings. It's been quite a little week in the law, if you will.
Yes, it has.
Where do you want to start, Gary?
Well, look, there, as you alluded to, there's just too much to cover, but we do have some video that you saw over the week and sent to me. So why don't we start there? What do you think?
I think that's a great idea. Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
We know that large amounts of money have been spent out of the fund that was amassed by the former president and is being used to pay for lawyers to various witnesses. The potential for coercion in that case is pretty obvious.
What the Congresswoman is describing there is a neat trick. Donald Trump raises all this money supposedly to try to overturn the 2020 election results. Then along comes this giant investigation into his attempts to overturn the election. So Donald Trump uses that big pile of money to pay for lawyers for all the people who used to work for him who are being subpoenaed by that very investigation. And you may not be a lawyer, I certainly am not, but you don't have to have a law degree to understand why it might be, in the Congresswoman's words, coercive for Trump to be paying for witnesses' lawyers. Imagine you are, say, Cassidy Hutchison, a White House staffer subpoenaed by the January 6th investigation, and Donald Trump is paying for your lawyer. Well, whose own interests is your lawyer serving, yours or Trump's? And hanging over your head at all times is the possibility that if you displease Trump somehow, he might cut off the money and you'll lose your representation. Today, one of Cassidy Hutchinson's former White House colleagues said that it was her understanding that when Ms. Hutchinson first testified behind closed doors months ago, she was represented by a lawyer paid for by Trump or his allies.
Cassidy actually came to me and said, there's more I want to share with the committee. A couple months ago, I put her in touch with Congresswoman Cheney. She got a new lawyer, and that's how this testimony came about.
She came to you and said she had more even after she'd spoken to them once?
Yeah, so what people need to understand is Trump World was assigning lawyers to a lot of these staffers who themselves, you know, don't have big...
assigning lawyers?
Well, I should say covering the cost of lawyers for people who don't have big legal defense funds to themselves.
But they were paying Cassidy Hutchinson's lawyer?
Is my understanding. You'd have to confirm that. But she had someone, Stephen Positano, who'd been in the White House counsel's office, is still aligned with Trump World. She did her interview. She complied with the committee. But she shared with me, there is more I want to share that was not asked in those settings. How do we do this? And in that process, she got a new attorney of her own.
Okay, I don't even know where to begin with this. I said to you because my head was exploding. First of all, let's talk about the lawyers. You're assuming not only an ethical violation, but risking disbarment if you're a lawyer and somebody else is paying the fees. And you decide you're going to do the bidding of the person who's paying the fees. This is just ludicrous on its face. It's done. Third parties pay for lawyers for people all the time. There's an addendum that is generally signed by the client saying, I understand a third party's paying, but the lawyer's duty is to the client, not to the third party. That's number one. So ethically, everything that was just said is complete and utter nonsense. You're assuming that the lawyers are committing acts that would be disbarrable expose them to disbarment. Number two, in most jurisdictions, there are laws. I know in California, there's a specific corporations code, which says if you're doing something in the course and scope of your employment and you get investigated or filed on or whatever you want to characterize it as, the employer is duty bound to pay your fees. So this idea that somehow Trump is covering the fees. You know, this is precisely why the Democratic Party is going to go. My party is going to go down in flames in November. They are single-handedly, they have adopted kind of the old school Republican clutching of pearls, and they've taken it to new heights that are just patently absurd. There were lawyers sitting in that last little round table, former U.S. attorneys who know better than this. They know there are things that are called joint defense agreements. They know that corporate America has been doing this for eons, that there's nothing wrong with somebody having either a joint defense agreement for when an investigation is coming at them. And by the way, for anybody who says, oh, well, they're trying to hide something. No, there have been investigations that have ended or have been shown to be completely bogus ab initio, meaning from the beginning. So don't tell me that you do not get a lawyer. Then the last little kind of snippet there that's infuriating is when pressed, it's, oh, they're assigning lawyers. And then they're assigning lawyers, clutching of pearls. No, they're not assigning lawyers. They're covering the cost. Well, yes, they may even have a legal obligation to cover the cost. And more so, understand the idiocy of the statement that was made. Cassidy went in front of the committee or the investigators. They asked her questions. She came out and she said, I had more to say.
Yeah. Well, they didn't ask.
They didn't ask. Whose fault is that? Is that the lawyer? Oh, I'm going to take my client in. Hey, you didn't ask about this, that, or the other thing. Well, one of the first tenets of any lawyer who's breathing and has got neurons firing is you're not going to offer investigators things that they're not asking. So she comes out and she wants to ask. Well, we can ascribe all kinds of motives to that. But just because you change your lawyer and now all of a sudden you got things to say, there is an argument as well that you didn't tell us these things in the first place. And now you've changed lawyers after you went to Liz Cheney. By the way, did Liz Cheney recommend your new lawyer? Nobody asked that question. Wouldn't you want to know any of those facts before you start just spewing this nonsense?
It's absolutely absurd. And I do love the fact that now MSNBC is using clips of CNN to bolster their points. And, you know, it's just you've got six people that are all seemingly, you know, oh, my goodness, can you believe this? Wait, she said she had more she wanted to say? She came to you and told you that? Oh, my goodness. Shut up. Get out of here.
Besides just defying logic or defying your basic and any kind of a common sense interpretation as to how human nature operates, ethically, legally, this is just a crock. There isn't anything that was just disclosed in that segment. We played it start to finish. That isn't infuriating. And if you actually are intellectually honest about what is happening here and what you are, you've got the U.S. government. In this case, you've got Congress, one of the co-equal branches, coming and looking at an investigation, talking about criminal referrals to the Justice Department. Maybe you might want to lawyer up. Maybe you might want to have counsel. Maybe you might want to work out agreements so you know whether you're a witness, a target, a subject. Maybe those are the kinds of things that people who are interested in exercising, by the way, their constitutional right, either under the Fifth or Sixth Amendment or under the First Amendment. But why is it that the Constitution, which we supposedly are protecting in a committee hearing, we're at the same time trampling one of the other amendments? It's infuriating, and precisely the people right thinking, and I mean that in every funny sense of the word, right thinking people who watch this, and I've shown this to others, lose their mind. This is exactly why this party is going to go down in flames this November.
Certainly one of the reasons. I wouldn't say it's the only one, but it's
Certainly not the only one. But we tend to take the bait. We take the bait. We become exactly what 20 years ago we said we would never become. It's just an awful, awful kind of inversion, if you will.
Well, that's a bit of a long clip for a BARD, but we had to play it nonetheless because it is just so insane. And to chop around might have suggested to a listener that we had been selective. We were not. That was a 2.5 minute straight clip out of that gentleman's show. All right, Mark. Well, we've cut up a lot of our time here. What else do you want to touch on before we go? We've got a few, at least 3 or 4 other topics we could go to, but let's pick our favorite.
There's one that hasn't been talked about that much. You know, they're one of the things that has come out of the Roe case and the overturning is that one of the solutions or proposals has been that maybe you could give reproductive advice, and if that means abortion, on federal lands contained within states. Out of nowhere, the U.S. Supreme Court, and I say out of nowhere because they also had to destroy precedent to do it, they ruled in another case that tribes and the sovereignty of Indian tribes contained within states are no longer so sovereign that state authorities could prosecute criminal offenses on what was previously considered to be a separate sovereign land. Why is that important? Well, put that also next to, or juxtapose it next to, the case that basically eliminated double jeopardy earlier this month. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled, and I'll give you kind of a quick summary of the facts. Man and woman have sex. Woman says the sex is not consensual. Gets prosecuted by Department of Justice, gets sentenced to 180 days. Department of Justice does not like that the guy only gets 180, actually, I think it was 140 days. Prosecutes him again for the very same facts, the very same victims, but this time the Department of Justice says they're bringing the case under a different, not tribal in the first place, but under a different sovereign, prosecutes him, he gets sentenced to 30 years. Anyone you would talk to would say, well, wait a second, I thought we had double jeopardy in this country. And the U.S. Supreme Court has now said, no, 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 that's not double jeopardy, that's not double punishment. We have two separate sovereigns that the DOJ is prosecuting on behalf of. Well, welcome to the evisceration of the double jeopardy clause, but more importantly, welcome to the idea that states will now be able to prosecute criminally things which they said they were going to leave to the states, that may happen on federal land, federal property, or seemingly were protected by sovereignty before. This is all, you know, I hate to play this 3-4-level chess game, but you have got in Neil Gorsuch, and this is basically Gorsuch's court now. Chief Roberts no longer is running this court in terms of having the sway that he once had. Gorsuch has taken over this court and is a brilliant, brilliant man, can write, but he's got an agenda, and this agenda has been disclosed and seen. And on the next Reasonable Doubt, I mean, we'll talk about what has happened with the evisceration of civil rights laws and being able to hold them accountable under 1983.
For anyone who wants to read a little bit more about this, we're talking about Oklahoma v. Castro Huerta. So you can go Google those and check them out. And I think we should probably go because I have a three-year-old joining the show right now.
Look at that. Is he going to wave? And he's clapping. Now that's what I call audience participation.
That's a BARD fan right there for you, folks. Mark, thank you so much for your time, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. Stay tuned for more bonus episodes coming soon.
You know that's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store, but did you know Shopify powers selling in person, too? That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/truecrime.